Okay, let's begin. I am Lanice Antoine Shelley, and I'll be your host through constructive, healing-based conversations designed to illuminate the adoptee, parents, and the adoption curious. We center the topics around community, mentorship, leadership, and healing, so you get a multidimensional view that is ultimately empowering. These are the voices who could not speak when they were young. Okay, before we get into it, I wanted to share with you some new offerings. We've just partnered with Isaac Etter's company called Identity, who provides adoption consulting and short practical guide pamphlets, a practical guide to transracial adoption, and a practical guide to Black hair care. As a listener, you get 15% off. Just click the link in the show notes where you can find all references and hot topics that are talked about in each episode. And since you're listening, I just wanted to thank those of you who've rated and reviewed this podcast, because every 5-star click helps remind these platforms that our work matters and helps me keep going. So those of you who are getting so much out of these conversations and have taken the 30 seconds to write a positive takeaway, I see you and I thank you. Those who haven't yet, now is the time, my love. Let's talk about it on Instagram after you go ahead and click 5 stars and write a review. Good morning or afternoon, fam, wherever you may be. How are you? This week has been pretty productive for me. I got a lot of admin work done, directed another visual play, and I'm shooting a horror film next month, which is wild because of how much of a fraidy cat I am. But the most important thing I did this week was I went out and voted. If you can get out there for early voting, please do. For those wary of the crowds, I get it. But if you can brave your local grocery store line, the time at the polls is no different. By November 3rd, it is going to be madness, so please don't wait. Go now. You can also turn in your mail-in ballot in person at the polls, which was something I didn't know until I showed up there. Okay. As you know, this podcast has 3 parts. One-on-one adoptee interviews with their own parents, which the whole of November is filled to the brim with to celebrate and honor National Adoption Family Month. So that's one thing to look forward to in November. And then we have experts coming in like Gladys Thomas in episode 1, Dr. Juliana Olsen-Deans and Dr. Charmaine Borda, who both happen to be adoptees. They grace episodes 5 and 7. Then, I like to talk to adoptees about something that is impactful in their lives or adoption-centric material. There is so much content out there that I want to expose you to that is actually written by adoptees. Today, we anchor the conversation in the New York Times best-selling book, My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me by Jennifer Teague. The book unpacks German biracial adoptee Jennifer Teague's discovery of her ancestral connection to the Nazis, most specifically Eamon Goeth, an infamous commander of concentration camp featured in Schindler's List. She, of course, is distraught by this revelation since she is a half-Black and half-white German adoptee and has ties to Israel. At the outset, she has just discovered her biological mother's father, her grandfather, was one of the most prolific murderers during the Holocaust. The book chronicles this epiphany and how her adoptive parents support her through the compelling unfolding of her bloodline. I got one of my dear sisters in solidarity to join me on this literary adventure. She, like Jennifer, is biracial or triracial, as she likes to put it, and raised in a white family. Please welcome Juilliard graduate and performer extraordinaire, Indigo Cicchetti.
My first impressions of the book were, wow, how much I identify with her and her story. Yes, being a transracial adoptee, triracial, biracial adoptee, and the feelings around adoption. But also my grandparents, my adoptive parents, my parents, are German. They fled Germany. And so my grandfather fought against the Nazis with the Americans, was actually like in the war. Anyway, it just like brought up so much stuff. And I remember hearing my own stories from my grandmother of her on the way to work as like a teenage girl and crossing like burial sites of dead bodies of Jews. And I don't know, I felt very connected to the story, and it brought up my own story, and it was, yeah, it really hit home, I guess, in a lot of ways.
It's such a powerful book, right?
Yeah.
And an extraordinary story. I was really blown away how complex her situation was. What do you think you would have done if you found out such a family secret?
You know, I don't know.
That's fair.
I don't know, because the way I relate to this story is really connection to my adoptive parents. And this is for her biological family. So when I think about my biological family, I mean, this story could be true. I mean, I'm obviously not German. I don't know. I mean, because I am so many mixes. I did a 23andMe and I'm Mexican, Native American, German, Italian, Ghana, Nigerian. Like, I'm literally from so many places. I actually sometimes, we make up our own stories. I make up my own story often when I think about my biological family. And this could be my actual story. You know, somewhere along the line, you know, I'm mixed and I'm lighter. I like to believe that I am my complexion and everything through love, you know, that I was created through love. And I know that my story was, but before that, if you track back generations and generations, like, it wasn't love. There wasn't a bunch of love everywhere, unfortunately, if there were mixes of cultures and colors, you know? Let's date it back, like, take it all the way back, you know, listening to, like, the maids in the house that were getting terrorized on a regular basis. I mean, I think there were probably a lot of, like, Nazi commanders that were raping the women around them that had children, and they had children. Like, so who knows where it all tracks back to, but there's trauma in like all of the stories that could be mine. So how would I feel if this was my story? It could be, I guess, is how it could be my story. And I feel how she feels in a way. I didn't have a direct connection to my biological family. So I don't have images of meeting my birth mother when I was a young girl or meeting my grandmother. But I definitely empathize with her having fond memories and wanting to hold on to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there was a layer in there where she's like, should I hate them? You know, like, should I hate these people because they were a part of something so awful? But then her memories and her own trauma of being adopted and being raised in a different home in a different area, wanting to keep fond memories of the images of the people she knew when she knew them. So, yeah.
Well, it was amazing how her connection to her grandmother, even though her grandmother was privy to the atrocities of what was happening and what her grandfather was up to, but she had this image of her grandmother that was so sweet and caring and doting and all of that. And it was just a huge departure to this woman who was in love with literally a monster. and how these memories that she's trying to tessellate to the actuality of the person, and how she was just so gobsmacked by the truth of what was happening, of what had happened, and her journey was so fascinating. Was there any moment to you in the book that stood out, these images of what she believed her family to be and what she learned from these books that she was reading?
I think what struck me was when she visited the concentration camps and they're giving this tour of the house that her grandfather lived in and all of these atrocities, and she's masked. She's almost like incognito being herself because they don't know who she is. And that for me was just telling of the layers of all of this. And just like being in a space and grieving the loss of the people that she didn't directly know, but still felt that she had a part in their killing because she's related to them. Mm-hmm. And the murders of the people, you know, like she's in such a sacred place and she lived in Israel before. And, you know, just, it's so fascinating that her journey was like so free. Like she just decided to go to Israel and she made a friend in Paris, and like, and little did she know when all of this comes out, it's like all connected for her. Like it's like, you can't make this up. Like it's so, you know, just, I'm at a loss of words just because, I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Well, it did. It was so wild to think that you discover this from a random book and then you see your mom in a documentary.
Yeah.
Like how outrageous is that? You're right. You can't make it up. It's just, and it took so much just curiosity and courage for her to investigate, because I don't know if I would have the strength to investigate if I found out that family secret either. So I understand you not knowing what would I do in that scenario. So what was your experience as a biracial adoptee in your community?
Yeah, I think also tying just to that point and this point, the way that she looked, you know, when she finally said who she was to someone at one point and they were like, you look so much like him. I mean, that is, I don't know who I look like. So in my reality, and, you know, someone could come up to me and be like, you look exactly like this person that, I don't know. Yeah. So for me, growing up as a biracial adoptee, I still to this day do long a bit for a photo where a bunch of people look like me. You know, like I have years and years of family photos where, you know, I don't look like anyone in my family, which is not something I felt comfortable thinking about or talking about, because it still feels uncomfortable to want something that I didn't have when I'm so grateful for what I did have, which I think comes up for a lot of people that are adopted. This kind of go between of wanting to be grateful for all of the love, and, you know, similar to her, she had brothers that she immediately bonded with, and, you know, I don't have any siblings, but I bonded with my parents. I mean, they nurtured my passion for art and dance. In those spaces specifically, I wasn't also around a bunch of people of color as well. So I was really raised in whiteness and around whiteness, knowing that I was not fully white. So I've always known that I didn't look like my parents. Despite my appearance right now, I had a huge fro, a gap in my teeth, and I, you know, was full of life, very loud, and my parents told me, you're adopted. And when I was probably two or whenever I started speaking. And they were like, we want to do more than anything in this world. You know, if you marry a girl, you marry a girl. If you marry a guy, you marry a guy. Whoever you are, whatever you are, we want you. And that's beautiful. And I feel like I learned that love from them that I carry into my relationships and the people around me. But with that being said, there were lots of conversations that I think could have continued about my background or learning about my racial background and where that fits into society at that time and moving forward. You know, there were conversations that we had when I was younger that kind of stopped. And I don't know if it was because, you know, I didn't ask the questions or if they thought, you know, similar to her parents that raised her, if they thought they were protecting her. I think in a lot of situations where children are adopted, the older ones around who have more voice and power do a lot of the deciding for the child to protect them or to nurture or, you know, it's their best interest. They're speaking for the interest of the child without the child being able to possibly say what they want or what they need. So yeah, I think that kind of segued into another kind of bit there, but being raised as a biracial adoptee, I internalized a lot of any conflict with my parents or with friends or with anything around adoption. So, yeah.
Well, very much like the protagonist in the book, she was raised in an all-white community, in a German community. She was able to assimilate as a child, and she really bonded as you bonded with your family, but she had to do a lot of catch-up work as an adult to find out her heritage, to find out all of these missing pieces that her family, in good intentions, decided to just omit or just ignore. So did you feel that as you grew up as well?
I didn't really ask a lot of questions. I don't remember asking a lot of questions. I remember feeling confident and I don't think proud is the right word, but I didn't feel any shame about being adopted. Mm-hmm. I was very like open about it. There was actually an instance where I was in first grade, kind of in an after-school daycare program, and another girl told me that she was adopted, and then I told somebody else. And I think kids were maybe making fun of us or something, and we had a teacher, Miss Plum, who was Black, and she kind of just put a halt on the entire whatever the activity was, and she said, hey guys, like, let's all sit down. And, you know, if you feel comfortable, raise your hand if you're adopted. Maybe 15 kids raise their hand. It was like the whole room. And she was like, look, great. There's no problem. Some of us are, some of us aren't. And she shut that down right then and there. And I will always remember that moment because I think that helped me, you know, reinforce my attitude around it. Because I didn't feel it was, you know, a problem for me to talk about being adopted or if someone else was, you know, I didn't have those reactions at the forefront when people are like, oh my God, are you okay? You know, I didn't really have a lot of that reaction. And if I did, I just knew that I was like, yeah, I am. Like, it's great. Like, nothing bad has happened. And the older I get, the more learning I'm doing and healing I'm doing on my own journey of being adopted, I realized that, yes, that was useful, but it was also a survival technique of handling that way. And even talking about adoption now, you know, just a couple months ago, I was talking to someone. I was like, adoption's not really a thing. Like, it's not really like a trauma thing for me. And, you know, months later, I'm doing, you know, a podcast with you and I'm reading this book and I'm digging a little deeper and it absolutely is. And it's just that way of having the conversation around adoption when I was younger was for survival. And it worked. And now I'm at a place where I can figure out there's another way how this can work for me of talking about it.
I love that you grew up with a lot of confidence, because I think that other people's reaction to our adoptions informs how we feel about it. Because I didn't grow up feeling pitied. I know a lot of people felt shock when they saw me with my mom and discovered that we were connected in that way. But I didn't feel any shame coming off of that situation. So that helped me grow in my confidence as I started to do the investigative work as an adult. Where in your life do you think you can apply courage?
Hey, I want to share with you something that has changed my life. It's more like someone, my therapist. Why is she so important? Well, because I want to win in this life. I want to break through the carousel of stories I've compiled that hold me back, that keep me from expanding into my full potentiality. Stories of unworthiness, not enoughness, and even stories of questioning why I am here. I also want to stop dumping my unsorted feelings on the people around me and reacting with the same behavioral patterns that keep me stuck. Conversations with my therapist have made me more confident, clearer in my intention, and more centered in my spirit. That is why I am elated that we are sponsored by BetterHelp, where you can, from wherever you happen to be right now, match with a therapist tailored to your exact needs. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. Someone who you can text at any time and schedule online for either a chat, Zoom, or phone call. And if it turns out that your therapist isn't the right fit, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. Visit the link in the show notes, betterhelp.com, when they were young, to get 10% off the first month. You need to click the link in the show notes in order to get the 10% discount. I want to see you win, beloved. Let's do it together. Visit the link, betterhelp.com, when they were young.
You know, on a daily basis, I think I apply courage on a daily basis to exactly what we just talked about, conversations. I mean, how she navigated going on tour with people talking about her grandfather and no one knowing about it is kind of how it takes some courage to then out herself. And I feel like that's kind of what I do as well. I'm not intentionally hiding my identity as a transracial adoptee, biracial adoptee, but it takes a lot of courage to talk about my story, talk about adoption. It also takes courage to not talk about it. And it takes practice to do both. And it's a constant daily navigation in spaces with friends and conversations, but also in spaces like the dance world or theater world or my job. You know, I think it takes courage every day to navigate the world in general, because there are so many unknowns for me with being adopted. I don't know my biological family. I don't know their past. I don't know, you know, if my ability to dance well and sing well, and I don't know if that comes from someone, whether that's a parent, and I don't know if it comes from a culture. I don't know if these things that are in me are beyond what I don't know. So if someone asks me, wow, where did you learn to do that? Or your curls, like, how do you get them like that? Or, you know, every single comment could be a window into a deeper conversation, or not. And so that's where I think I display a lot of courage for myself, is navigating when to bring up my adoption, because it really is a bringing up and then it becomes a topic. And I really appreciate you doing this work and having a podcast that other people can listen to, because I've done a little research and a lot of the content or literature out there is sometimes written by people that aren't adopted. And I think that's awesome that there's research, but I think coming to the source is super important, because we all actually have different stories. So
yeah. Well, that's what I love so much about this book, was because it was written by an adoptee like us, and her perspective on everything was so in depth and so rich. Mm-hmm. And it was inspiring to see how her family band together and how she started to unpack her history and who she was and who she wanted to become. So did you like the book?
I loved it. Absolutely. I've told everyone about it. Like, whether they're an adopt, like, I just am like, have you read this book?
It's great.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not to get political, but there are lots of different groups sprouting up right now. And it's always, I think, a knowledge learning lesson to look back. And so, like, through her lens, looking at all of this, at history, her family's history, you know, as an umbrella, is a great way to kind of tap into that. And I think it's very relevant. This book, I feel, will be relevant forever. You know, that's also why I loved it, because it's not just like a period piece. It's not just like, it was good 20 years ago, it's going to be good in 10 years, maybe, we'll see. It's good. I think it's great knowledge for anyone, whether they're a parent of an adoptee, someone wanting to adopt, a child who's, or an adult. I don't know if it's like a super child's book, but
yeah. It's advanced reading.
Like, not for the kids, but maybe the teens and young adults.
But it's so informative, as you said, and it's, I think it's important to look back on history and learn from it. And you can absolutely get political, because I think we need to. I think everyone, even people who haven't been political in the past, are now engaging, because it's affecting them. We have to find a way to move forward that isn't a repetition of the past.
Here are my reflections. One, there's trauma in all of the stories. This is a rough truth for parents and adoptees. As we unfold our own stories, be kind to yourself. There is no happy ending, because once you reunify, you'll be met with a myriad of feelings that you can't anticipate. Adoptees might be confronted with the history of the biological family, which can be unsettling because they're human too. The biological family is human too. And variably had their own reaction to your leaving. I actually realized this when I befriended my biological younger sister on Facebook, and I saw that she had a lot of photos of me. I was shocked. I had created a story that they didn't care or feel my absence at all. I was wrong. They observed my adoption as a death. From her perspective, she had lost her older sister, who was not there to protect and mentor her. I was caught up in my own story that I hadn't considered, that everyone around me was living out their own valid interpretations of what happened. Two, go to the source. I love that there are so many books on adoption written by us adoptees. Be mindful of who you're learning about adoption from. Make sure you have diverse resources and have factored in the lived-in experience from the adoptee perspective. I also acknowledge that if you're listening to this now, that you are doing just that. So thank you. Three, there is no shame in being adopted. There is no shame in being adopted. Now I want you to say it. There is no shame in being adopted. Many of us look for others to validate our stories or relinquish us of shame. I want to tell you that you can do it yourself. There is no shame in being adopted. All right, my friends. Good work this week. I want to make a shout out to Sharon Washington, who won a free Island Curiel box from my Instagram birthday challenge. She was the first person that day to write me a wonderful review, so I sent her a box of self-care goodies from Island Curiel Box. And no, this is not an ad. They are not sponsoring me. I just love them. Thank you again, Sharon. The reviews push this podcast to the forefront of searches, which means more seekers of truth can join us. I'll be continuing that challenge and more giveaways on Instagram at Young Adoptee. And you can also listen through my website at laniceantoineshelley.com. Another beautiful episode. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to my guest today. If you liked this episode, the best way to support me and this work is to write an iTunes review, a 5-star review. This helps us reach the top of searches and helps more people to find us. And if you personally want to connect, please reach out on Instagram or Facebook. And I have some great resource material on my website at laniceantoineshelley.com. So go on over there too. Until next we meet, go gently and have courage, my love.